The number you have dialed has been changed. The new number is... Please note, the new number is...
Internet Marketing for Smart People Radio. Weekly tips on marketing and building your profitable online business from copyblogger.com. Howdy, IMFSB radio listeners. I'm Robert Bruce, and I am very pleased to be here with the glamorously intelligent chief marketing officer of Copyblogger Media, Sonia Simone. Sonia, you've been seriously busy these days, right? How's things going?
They're good, except I have to say I'm going to start adding glamorously intelligent to my bio for everything because I really like that. I'm like,
I think you should use
it. I'm excited about that. Yeah, no, it's been nuts. It's been good nuts, but you know, we brought the company together. We have these awesome. We had these four awesome little companies that were cooking along and bringing them together. There's just so much to do, and I am so blown away by the different teams on all these different companies and how they've kind of come together to help each other out. So it's been really great. And I mean, the boys are wonderful. They're good boys, you know, they're nice boys. They play well together. So that's been great. Cause it's super exciting for Brian and I to be in business with somebody who can do math.
That's right.
We're just thrilled, you know, it's so exciting.
As many folks out there will know, you're also the senior editor of copyblogger.com, have been for some time, which in my mind puts you in a unique position to talk about this stuff and take us to school on this topic. Can you tell us what content marketing is exactly and then why it can create this staggeringly unfair advantage over competitors?
Yeah. It's really interesting to me because I started off as a person with an allergy to selling. I hated selling. I was terrible at it. I cannot cold call. If I had to cold call, I would have lost my house a long time ago. And I don't like to quote unquote sell. And so I wanted to start a copywriting business and I had to figure this out. You know, how was I going to sell my copywriting services if I didn't like to sell? And I started looking, and Copyblogger was one of the resources that helped me work that out. But content marketing is actually not new, but like a lot of things, it looks new because the internet allows us to do it on a much bigger scale at a much lower cost. Content marketing is essentially a version of what those old school salesmen have been doing for hundreds of years. You know, the Fuller Brush Man did the same thing, which is to use education and information and to some degree entertainment to do all the traditional functions of selling. So to get people's attention and to educate them about the benefits of the product and to call their attention to a problem they might be having that they aren't thinking about or aren't aware of. And then to build kind of an appealing picture of the product and to ask for the sale and to answer any objections that might come up. All that traditional stuff that the Fuller Brush Man knew about when he put his foot in the door in 1918 is really exactly the same thing as what content marketing does today. But instead of having to go door to door or deliver direct mail, which are time intensive, labor intensive, and costly, now we create content and we have this unbelievable distribution mechanism that lets us put it out. We combined the world's biggest printing press with the world's biggest post office, and they're both almost free. That's what's revolutionary. What's revolutionary is the way that we're able to get this out. But actually, people have been doing content marketing for a very long time, and probably as long as there's been trade. People have been using education and entertainment kind of blended to put a sales message across.
And one really cool thing to note, I mean, someone could look at Copyblogger Media and the products that are there now and available to people, the revenues that the company is generating, the size and the scope of either some of those products or copyblogger.com, the site itself, and just think, you know, this thing's just massive. It's always been massive. There was never a time when, you know, it wasn't this incredible thing. But I think it's important to point out and remember that, you know, Brian started it from nothing. And this is exactly, content marketing is exactly how Copyblogger Media was built, right?
Absolutely. And it started out looking a lot like what a lot of blogs look like. Brian wrote two posts a week. he put a lot of thought into making them very thoughtful and very useful. And Brian is very strategic, but he doesn't come with some kind of like special entrepreneurial background. He's actually never worked for a company, which I find strange. He was an attorney, and so he's worked in law practices, but a law practice is not a company. It's a very different kind of animal. And he didn't have connections. It's not like he knew, you know, Bill Gates personally or anything like that. So he started off without connections with the same two subscribers we all do, you know, ourselves and our mom, and built the thing step by step along exactly these principles. He provided for a couple of years, I think he probably went 2 years, maybe longer, without selling anything, but just kept building. Now, I'm not going to say you have to go 2 years without selling anything. And in fact, we talk about that in the Internet Marketing for Smart People course. It's perfectly okay to start selling sooner than that. But I just want to let people kind of know where this business started out and came from. He created this huge value kind of week in, week out, week in, week out, busted his tail, writing his ass off to build the rapport and the relationship and the readership and the links and the SEO and all the things, you know, the traffic and all the things that people want. As the old ad said, he got those things the old fashioned way. He earned them. There was no trick or magic formula that he used. And to the extent that there was a trick or a magic formula, we will just tell you what it is. So, you know, there are some.
Please.
Yeah, there are some techniques, you know. There definitely are some techniques about being strategic, about being in a topic that is a commercial topic, because not every topic is commercial. I know you guys earlier were talking about my favorite naked mole rats. Mm-hmm. You know, not every topic has good commercial potential. Despite what Gary Vaynerchuk will tell you, no, I really don't think you can run a business on 80s wrestling. or at least not a business that's going to pay for anything other than your 80s wrestling DVD collection. That could be a fabulous hobby, and it could be a hobby that makes money, but I don't know that I would want to live on it. So yeah, there are some techniques. And again, probably Brian and I resonate because we tend to geek out on the stuff that worked, you know, in the 19th century to sell sewing machines or patent medicine. I mean, there's a lot of great marketing in fake medicine, actually, because like so many products today, it's pure marketing. It's just a bottle of you know, booze, basically. And whether or not you sell the product depends on how good your marketing is. And a lot of the stuff that we teach is the old Mad Men kind of old style advertising and marketing technique. And it worked then and it works now, and it's going to work forever because the human mind really changes very little. Basic drivers are the basic drivers.
Yeah. And it's striking actually to see, like you say, on the one hand, you've got naked mole rats. But on the other hand, you have got a very competitive keyword in something like copywriting.
Right.
In fact, I just Googled that this morning, and copyblogger lands in the top three, sometimes one, sometimes three, over and over and over again on that search. It's astounding to think that someone could own that.
Right.
In other words, you know, 10 years ago, you had to be Coke or Pepsi to own certain, whatever the equivalent of keywords were, you know, in the brand advertising game. Now, a person with a blog done right, like you said, with very specific strategies and hard work, using these content marketing principles, can do it.
Yeah, and Brian was never an SEO ninja either. There are guys who can rank, you know, there's all kinds of things that can be done to affect your search engine rankings. The only one of those Brian ever did was just to write stuff people wanted to link to.
Yeah.
And of course, that's the hard part. And the SEO guys all tell us, well, you guys do the hard thing, which is to get a bunch of links from real people that you don't have to pay for. So yeah, it really can be done, you know, the white hat way, the square way. And if somebody was trying today to capture copywriting, it would be tricky, but there's a lot out there. I mean, sometimes I think people think that all the good keywords are gone, or that They're late to the party, and actually they're very early to the party. There's tons of room. And the reason there's tons of room, the reason not everybody does it is it takes work and it takes creative work. And people are frightened of creative work. And the truth is creative work is not more difficult than boring work, but people are afraid of it. They're afraid that they're not creative. They're afraid that, you know, they're going to do something foolish if they're not exactly following some kind of rigid formula, which is why the marketing guys who sell those formulas do so well, because people don't trust themselves. But it's in there. And even people who don't really think of themselves as writers often can produce some really strong, really exceptional content. It's really a matter, more than anything else, of finding the courage.
And if we're not talking about a word, you know, owning a word, so to speak, like copywriting, I mean, this is the perfect thing for Portland dry cleaner, Portland, Oregon yeah. dry cleaner, right? I mean, starting a website, putting together a plan for content marketing and going.
Yeah. I mean, frankly, getting on page one of Google for Portland copywriter or Portland copywriting is not that tough. It can absolutely be done, and that's still wide open and still very available. Now, if we're talking about Portland real estate, that gets more competitive. But the other cool thing about the copy blogger model is, while you're waiting for the great God Google to look nicely on you and send you traffic, it works by sending you just natural traffic from writing something good and having another person in your topic say, hey, this is good. You should go check it out. So you can find new people. And for most businesses, what I call a village business, which is just it's like a throwback to these old kind of local, you know, the village bakery and the village shoemaker, except your village, your customers might be all over the world. So you've got one in Kuala Lumpur and one in Australia and one in Mexico City and one in Tokyo, but you still only have maybe, I mean, you can make some of these, you can make a very nice living off of a couple of hundred customers. And if you do something like coaching, you can make a very nice living off 20 customers. So you can find your customer base. You can find the people that are going to give you a nice living well before Google decides you're okay. And that's one of the things that I like about content marketing. Google is a zero-sum game. There are 10 slots on the front page of Google, the first page of those search results. You're either on the first page or you are not. And if you are not, your benefit is essentially zero. So you get 10 winners and everybody else is a loser.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. Which reminds me, by the way, we're going to get into social media as a whole later, but some of the back-end benefits of content marketing as well is, you know, the idea of building a list, right?
Right.
Is independent of Google, no matter what happens to you there. And then creating an asset that you and Brian have talked about over and over again that stays over time, that is there forever once it's created.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you an example, which will seem totally obnoxious to a lot of people, but I only put it out there to show you that it can be done, which is my personal blog, remarkablecommunication.com.
Yep.
It's a little labor of love. Again, this was the site that I created when I was trying to get business as a copywriter. And so I was figuring that out. How am I going to get business as a copywriter? And eventually my goals morphed and I didn't want to do that anymore. But I still have this site. I don't post to it much anymore. I might post something every couple of months. And I'm working on getting back into that because I enjoyed it so much, but it's really a hobby site. It's a personal site. It's not a professional site at this point. And I have between 10 and 20 people every day who find my site and sign up for my email newsletter. And I do nothing. I mean, I do nothing to promote it. All my attention really goes to Copyblogger because, you know, that's where my obligations are and my interest right now. And like so many of us, I short shrift the things I do for fun. So I don't write for Remarkable Communication anymore, but it's out there as an asset with, I don't know, 40, 50 posts that are good, that are really good and people talk about and they still spread. And I still get people sharing them. I don't rank for much of anything anymore. I used to rank for a couple of interesting terms like how to tell a story. But when you don't touch your site for a while, Google eventually just thinks you're not worthy anymore. So I'm not getting search traffic. I'm getting share traffic. I'm getting people who say, do you ever find this? It's really cool. You should go check it out. that thing that we say about your content being an asset really is true. It will continue. It won't do it forever. But the content can keep your business going during periods when you get, you know, you can't necessarily be in the game. And if you've built something strong enough, it will carry you for a while. It won't carry you forever, but it can carry you through lean periods, and it can really continue to bring you new prospects, new business, new eyes, new faces.
All right, so let's swing back around. Can you give us kind of the 10,000 foot view of what content marketing is? You've written that there are three general components to doing this very well. Number one that I have pulled here is to create something that's worthy of attention.
Right. Right. And this is where a lot of people who are selling marketing information will bullshit you and tell you that you can do something like run Google Alerts and just kind of mash what you find together into valuable content. You've got to be writing something good. There are hundreds of millions of blogs out there, many of which are trying just that. They're trying to mash together content based on other people's good work and other people's smart writing. If you aren't able to provide smart, interesting, worthwhile material, you need to figure out somebody who can. Now, fortunately, many writers are broke, so you can just go find a broke writer and hook up with them. But you need to be creating something that's worth people's attention, because there's an awful lot of material out there, and just creating more clutter and more junk ain't going to do it.
Number two, this is, I think this is one of the greatest blog posts ever written, called The Harpoon or the Net. And to prove it, I think we've talked about it in every episode so far, so we're going to link to it again.
Again.
This is a really cool concept that you came up with a while ago, and it just continues to deliver, the idea of the harpoon or the net. What's that about?
Yeah, this is an important one. This is an important kind of cornerstone idea, which is there's two ways you can make sales on the internet. And one is all the guys we make fun of who write sales letters with yellow highlighter and red headlines. And I actually don't think there's a thing in the world wrong with yellow highlighter or red headlines. They have to be hypey, and they have to have all this garish, crazy formatting, because what they're doing is they're running something like Google AdWords, or they're running some kind of advertising. They're bringing in a customer, and they've got one shot. They've got a single shot to make that sale. They make it or they don't, totally binary. And so they are what I call the harpooner. They have to be extremely skilled. That kind of copywriting takes a lot of skill. The people who do it well make a ton of money, because it's hard to do well. And it's not always pretty or lyrical. In fact, it's usually kind of ugly and crass. But it's a matter of, can you take maybe 2 or 3% of that traffic, just send a harpoon right through the head of those couple of buyers who are in the right state and haul them out of the water. The net is building a content net where we create this web of content, and it just kind of keeps them around, you know, and they sort of just, it just sort of makes them feel comfortable, and it keeps them around, and it keeps your prospects close, and it keeps them from swimming off and doing anything else. And when you've got something to sell, you just reach in and pluck as many out as you need to. So it's a different model. It's more work in one way, because you're creating content week in, week out. Like I said, Brian did, you know, two posts a week for 2.5 years before he started to get some help. But there's less skill required. And most people I know are much more comfortable with it. They're much more comfortable building the relationship of the content net and, you know, creating kind of an environment or a community of buyers and then making offers to them. That feels much more comfortable than, first of all, getting the skills to do harpoon copywriting, which is hard to do. And it costs a fortune. It's minimum 5 figures if you get somebody to do it for you. And it feels sleazy to a lot of us, and it feels predatory. I mean, the funny thing is they're both predators, right?
That's right.
The funny thing is, at the end of the day, you still have fish dinner no matter, you know, which way you go.
Yeah. And is this, correct me if I'm wrong, but is this the idea of the net, of netting over time, a lot of potential customers, does this get back to that idea of the sideways sales letter?
Yeah.
Or is it is it not as specific as that?
It's related to that. The sideways sales letter is to use your content to explicitly deliver a sales function. Mm-hmm. So one message covers this common objection, and one message covers that common objection, and one message agitates the problem. And so that if you are a copywriting geek and you know the copywriting formulas, each step in a copywriting formula can be shown through a piece of content, and you just walk the person through the sideways sales letter until you get a call to action. So it is related. It must be faced that there are a lot of people out there who would like to have an online business but haven't quite gotten around to the business part yet, who have wonderful content nets, but they never take any fish out of the water. So sideways sales letter is really a strategic use of the content net idea to really deliver sales messages in a low-key way, in a friendly way. And the other aspect of this is your content needs to be valuable to your readers, whether or not you ever sell them anything. So, because most people won't, you know, most people don't. Most of anybody's audience, no matter what they're selling, walks away without buying. That's normal.
In and of itself, it has to be valuable.
That's a big part of the content net as well. If you're delivering value, and that's really the only way to keep people around, is to have something that's valuable in and of itself. And then when you do show up with an offer, if you've done it right, if you've created an offer that they care about, something they want, and if they trust you, and if the something they care about, something they're willing to spend money on, they will buy. They just will. Mm-hmm. It's really, really interesting to see. And so people can get those elements wrong and it doesn't work yet. And they think, well, content marketing doesn't work. But if you get those working together, it's pretty cool to watch.
And that brings us to finally, and you've covered it well here, the idea that we are looking for customers, really kind of no matter what you're doing, whether you're selling ideas or selling products or services, we're looking for customers, not just readers. Unless I'm assuming you're doing the weekend hobby of, you know, writing about naked mole rats. We want to get to customers, not just readers with this.
Yeah. And you touched on something important to know, which is someone like a Seth Godin, his customers spread his idea. That's the sale for Seth. Seth wants his customers to go talk up his ideas. And if they give him money or not, it's not all that material to him. He truly doesn't care. Because his sale is get out there and spread my idea around. So different people do have different ways of making the sale. It's really a matter of wanting to elicit a certain response from your readers. And if your readers are responding in the way you want them to, you have customers. And that might be making a purchase, but it might be doing something else too. It definitely could be, for example, taking some kind of political action, you know, or changing behavior to produce a result for the environment, or changing parenting behavior and treating your kids in a different way. So there's a lot of different ways, things that people are selling that are not product service for money. And this is not just about necessarily transactions that involve cash. That's where we put our attention because we like cash. But we enjoy other things too. I mean, if we can get somebody to quit a draining, stupid day job that doesn't respect them and work for themselves and do something meaningful and have autonomy and they never become our customer, we are fine with that. Mm. We are absolutely fine with that. If somebody takes our free stuff and goes out and creates, and I know a woman who created an amazing cooking website that she makes really good living from, and she did it from free stuff that she got from the Teaching Sales Launch. You know, I mean, hats off to her. I think that's wonderful. That's a win for us. So we have non-monetary stuff too.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got the really big overview, thanks to you, Sonia, of content marketing as a strategy in this show. But it's really just one of the many philosophies of the Internet Marketing for Smart People course that we offer, right?
Yeah. And I don't even know why I did this, sort of classic me, but I wanted to create this kitchen sink internet marketing course for the kind of people I like, for the kind of people I want to attract, you know, again, people who are willing to put some money and time in. We called it Internet Marketing for Smart People. And frankly, dumb people tend to find Copyblogger really, really boring. So we don't tend to get a lot of those who show up and they leave. They don't like it. But I really wanted to create a course that would give people the fundamental stuff, the stuff that I kind of wrestled around with and, you know, gleaned by reading a million books and reading a million blog posts from the smartest people and trying a bunch of stuff out and observing what works on a larger scale, like we have a copy blogger, much larger scale than I was working at with Remarkable Communication. But I balance those. I always try to remember what it's like for that person starting out who might not have 1,000 readers yet. And so I really kind of tried to throw everything that I knew to get people started into that course. You know, for all the reasons that we talked about, we would love to sell you some stuff if you value that approach. But we would also love to teach you a lot about how to do this kind of business. And if you're a good fit for us, you're going to know it and you're going to come buy something. So we don't worry about that.
And anybody listening here that hasn't already, you can grab this free, by the way, 20-part course, Internet Marketing for Smart People. Probably the easiest way is to get onto copyblogger.com and jump over to the right sidebar. You'll see a banner there. Just click it and it'll take you through the whole process very easily. Sonia, it has been wonderful hanging out with you. We have to do this again very soon, right?
Absolutely. This is geeking about this stuff is one of my favorite things to do. And you are just as geeky as I am, which is a great pleasure. Take care.
Internet Marketing for Smart People Radio. Weekly tips on marketing and building your profitable online business from copyblogger.com.